It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
It's the most exciting sport on earth as far as I'm concerned.
Take a walk through the Nitro pits as we go one-on-one with the stars of drag racing.
Hi, I'm Courtney Forrest.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
This is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
Featuring the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt.
Our events are truly an experience. They're not just a spectator event. They are an experience.
So get in, sit down, and hold on with host Joe Costello as he goes WFO.
Thanks, brother. Always love being on WFO, baby. Nobody brings it to you better than you, brother.
Now crank it up. It's time to go WFO. Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Welcome back, NHRA fans. I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. Now, if you're a first-time listener, and I imagine many of you are out there clicking links on Twitter and social media, and maybe you're listening on iHeartRadio or Stitcher or TuneIn or the free WFO Radio app. If you like NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing, well, I think you're in the right place. We do this show on a weekly basis. We hear from the winners, and anybody who does something like super spectacular, like, for instance, this week on the show, Larry Dixon. He was super spectacular at the Amalie Motor Oil NHRA Gator Nationals, and we've got him on the show. Is he going to race this weekend at Z-Max Dragway? Larry will tell you just minutes from now. Stick around. Also on the show, he's back, Bob Tasca. Bobby Motocraft got a new sponsor, going to be running limited schedule this year, and he's going to tell you, the WFO Radio audience, all about it. I can assure you it begins this weekend at Z-Max Dragway, the four wide nationals. Also on the show, one of the absolute superstar photographers out there in the world, but he happens to have a passion for NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing, Mark Rabilis. He was on the other side of the lens of some of the most amazing shots of Larry Dixon's crash. An incredible sequence. He got it. He's going to talk about it, how he hung in there, what he saw, what he was shooting, what he was looking for, and even where you can get some of the shots. And also on the show, Marla O'Gwynn, a first-time winner in the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series as a crew member. And we're going to celebrate her first win with her. She is on Spencer Massey's team. Of course, Spencer winning in Top Fuel at the Amalie Motor Oil NHRA Gator Nationals. If you don't have your tickets yet to the 4Y Nationals, click the banner ad on WFOradio.com. I'll be there. It's going to be great. You know who else will be there? This guy, the voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhardt. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be back, as always.
All right, what are we looking at here for weather in Charlotte this weekend? How should you from Arizona and me from southeastern Florida prepare for what we're about to get into?
Well, I'm going to prepare by staying inside all weekend.
That's a great
idea. I don't know what you're
going to
do.
Great.
Yeah.
You know, you're very funny there, Reinhardt. It's just occurring to me how you do have the in-the-tower position.
Yes, yes. There are times when that is the place to be. You know, for everything that I've seen is that it's going to be a little bit cool out there Saturday and Sunday. There's no mention of rain, nothing that's going to postpone the race, but as we know, when it gets cool, it gets fast. And I think talking to a couple of the Pro Stock guys earlier in the week, they're pretty jacked up about it. If the forecast stays where it's going to be, where it is now, the Pro Stock cars will be literally flying. So it'll be fun. It might, bring a jacket if you're planning on coming to Z-Max, assuming that the forecast holds. Who knows? 3 days out, it could change everything. But bring a jacket and be ready for some record-setting performances. That's what I'm going to do.
We had Christian Bird on a couple of weeks ago. They come on and promote the race on WFO Radio as we get close. And we were talking about the repaving project and how well it was coming. And he made no bones about it. They like the idea. They want this track to be considered one of the quickest, fastest, and most record-setting places on the planet to go along with the, oh, it's the Bellagio, it's really a nice, fancy place and a great place to watch a race. They want to put up big performances as well. And this little schedule change and the weather and the new track could make just for that.
It definitely should be fun to watch. You know, the one... I don't know, maybe it's not even a question mark. I know they had some of the pro teams down there, but new concrete to 700 feet and then asphalt from there on out. Historically speaking, sometimes that new asphalt in particular, the concrete's not a big deal, takes a little bit of time to come in, but you know, we'll just have to wait and see. If the weather's cool, that'll play into the track's hands. And you know, being a record-setting facility has so much to do with what Mother Nature is going to give us. You know, one of the reasons that Maple Grove is so fast is just exactly that, just because of the weather, because it's up there in the trees, and because that, you know, that lends to greater performances from the cars. So we've already seen, you know, if I doubt that Kristen's worried about the reputation of his racetrack from a performance standpoint. Let's see, where was the first three-second funny car run? Oh, that's right, that would have been Z-Max.
Absolutely. It's going to be pretty crazy. And the idea of we all go to the racetrack to see great side-by-side drag racing, but also big numbers, big performances. We're going to get it here this weekend. What about Bob Tasca returning? How about that? He's going to be crew chiefing. Limited schedule, getting back in. But I think it's exciting that Bob is going to be back out there. Another funny car in the field.
I will take every good quality car that we can get, and if some of them don't have the budget to run the whole year, then we'll, you know what, we'll take them when they can come out and play. And, you know, obviously Bob, great personality, great for the sport, a lot of enthusiasm, and a good quality car. So, you know, with Bob Tasca showing up, that means the possibility that one of the regulars will end up being a Sunday spectator becomes even more real, because that's a car that I think everybody expects to pencil into the qualifying sheet.
Bob has just announced Fire Aid and Nitro Fish on board helping him out this weekend, which is great. And the live television, Alan, I think that cannot be understated on a show like this. This is a hype show as we're getting ready for the weekend, and I'm hoping that our listeners are on their way to the track later in the weekend or getting ready to prepare for the event. Get your DVR set, get ready, because this is going to be live television. As we know with live TV, it changes the nature of it, but this is something you and I have talked about. This is the first one of 2015.
Yeah, and you know, everybody's been looking forward to it, obviously, with, you know, ESPN has a new producer in the truck, so it's going to be his first time doing a drag race live. It should be fun. If you've seen the schedule, and you can go to either NHRA.com or you can go to Charlotte Motor Speedway's website, Sunday we don't run first round until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's going to be a little bit of a later start going into the four wide. We will have activity on the track in the Lucas Oil ranks and in the Sportsman ranks, but they have amended and adjusted the schedule for the four wide specifically to go into that live TV window. So if you're at the track, you're going to see a little bit of a different show than you've seen in the past. And as you said, be sure and sit. You know, I've got my Beta machine all set and ready to record so I can come home and watch it.
Oh, you've upgraded from the Laserdisc. That's great.
Is Beta newer than Laserdisc?
I don't know. I think they came out around the same time, actually, if memory serves me right. Everybody swears by Beta, though, Alan. You're kidding around, but they lost out on the VHS battle. But those Beta guys, they were diehard. They stuck with it.
Oh, yeah, no question. You know me and technology. I don't know nothing about technology.
Now you mentioned
smash and bash stuff. I don't.
Yeah. You're better.
I will say though, I can program a VCR and could from right at the get-go. I was pretty proud of that.
Well, that is very good. Well, listen, are you kidding? When that technology came out, it was absolutely cutting edge. The whole idea. I remember we had one. It was like 4 foot by 2 foot, and it was massive. But we could all of a sudden watch stuff, which was great. I think the first thing I ever recorded was Caddyshack. Now you can program your DVR from your phone and get ready to watch a little live TV. And most importantly, I think the real connection is the social media aspect of it now. Now everybody who's got a Twitter account or a Facebook account, they want to know what's going on in the DSR pit area before the semifinals. They can look at the hashtag or follow along, and they're getting real current new information. It turns everybody in the drag race pit into a reporter, whereas on the tape-delayed shows, it turns them all into a spoiler, which is less fun.
You're right about that. And, you know, the fact that you mentioned DSR, they're not the only ones, but some of the big teams out there have got dedicated social media people that will be feeding that machine. So, you know, hopefully we'll get either four wide nationals trending or NHRA will get to be trending, and people will be following along in whatever form they choose. But we've seen it before in the past. The live shows they're a lot of fun to work. You know, you can kind of feel the excitement. The teams are going to be on a fast turnaround to make it happen in the TV window. We'll be taking cameras back into the pits. We'll be piggybacking with the ESPN folks in HD on our Jumbotron track side, and we will be following along the action in the pits while it's taking place, while the teams are in the fight to get back for the final round. It's, like I said, a little bit of a different trackside experience, but we've been through it before. The fans seem to just absolutely love being involved at that level. So, you know, off we go.
Off we go. Very exciting. And, of course, the four wide nationals, a race that, when it was first initiated, it was polarizing in many ways. My read on it, and I want yours as well, is that for the overwhelming majority of the fans, racers, and crew members, they have gotten to the point where this is a once-a-year thing that we do. It's different, it's unique, and then we move on to the remainder of the year. I think people have gotten beyond their strong opinions one way or the other. We do it a little different at this racetrack because the facility is one of a kind.
Well, there will always be the purists that, you know, drag racing is mano a mano. It's not, you know, it's me against you. It's not me against him and him and him and him. And I can tell you from my personal circle of friends, even the most hardcore fan that believes drag racing should just be two lanes wide, it should never deviate from two lanes wide, it should always be two lanes wide, every one of them says, but I'd like to go see it once. And doing it once a year gives everybody an opportunity to come see it once. It's a unique performance. It's a different show. It's, you know, even more sensory overload than we normally have. And for pretty much every drag racing person I know, it has become a bucket list item. You know, the first time was kind of like, eh, well, but the drivers have gotten used to it, gotten into the rhythm. They, you know, there aren't as many starting line miscues and other issues that we've had in the past. And as you said, you know, it's a once-a-year thing. It's a heck of a show that they put on, and it's something that I think every drag racing fan ought to at least see it once. You know, you can't hate it until you see it. So my mom used to tell me, how do you know you hate that? You haven't tried it. I said, well, okay. So I try it, and maybe I didn't hate it. But it's unique, and it's something that definitely needs to be experienced. If you can't do it in person, you can do it in HD on ESPN, too.
Isn't that the truth? And we will be out there. It is going to be cold or cool, and it's going to be a good time. It's going to be cold and cool at the same time. Now, Alan, this past weekend, the Jegs Cajun Sports Nationals at Bell Rose went down. Now, this is an event that is like a national event for the Lucas Oil guys. So this is pretty huge, especially if you're Kevin Helms and you win the stock eliminator class in Gainesville and then go right to Bell Rose and win it again.
Yeah, that's a lot of points he's putting on the board here pretty early in the season. And you know, for those who don't know, Kevin Helms knows a thing or two about winning championships. You know, we're talking about a guy who's won, three championships, won back-to-back U.S. Nationals campaigns in a big block four-speed car. So when he gets in a little bit of rhythm, he's tough. He's off to a heck of a start.
Yeah, that just blows my mind. These guys banging four speeds, winning bracket race style races in stock eliminator. Unreal. Comp eliminator, Arnie Martel with that Camaro. Anthony Bertazzi and super stock over Joe Santangelo, who had a great run out there in Gainesville. Jeff Lopez over Johnny Labuse, so he's keeping the train running. Johnny Labuse with a win and a runner-up in back-to-back events. A lot of great racing out there. Let me just Ray Dew in Super Street. Keith Raftery in Top Sportsman, Bob Mandel in Top Dragster, and in Super Gas, Holden Larice, no nickname.
Yeah, he'll have one soon. you know, that's Ross Larice's son. Of course, Ross is known as Baby Larice, part of the Louisiana gang for down there, and he's been a real power player in Division IV the last couple of years. So, you know, here we go again. Another generation, another young driver out of the junior dragster ranks that comes into the big cars with a lot of experience and doesn't take him long to get to the winner's circle.
Very, very cool. And in the Mosier Shootout, Slate Cummings wins it. The Jegs Sports Nationals down there in the Bayou. Very, very cool. Alan, great job as usual. Lots to talk about, lots to think about. You mentioned the new producer for ESPN, Michael Knight's got a great column on Competition Plus all about it, an interview he did. So if you have any comments or questions, you can check that out. And I'm just excited to get there.
I am as well. It's you know, it's a terrific event. Christian Bird and his staff always make us feel like family when we come down to ZMAX Dragway. So really looking forward to it. And if you haven't already made your plans, come out. You got to see the four wide at least once. And if you've seen it once, chances are you'll want to come back and see it again. It's a pretty special show.
You don't learn how to even look at it until you see it the second time. The first time, you're just totally blown away. And my experience is I didn't even really know where to focus because it's double everything I would normally focus on. I know how to watch a drag race, but I don't really know how to watch a four-wide drag race because there's two of everything I would normally look at. So you got to figure out where to look, and I'm going to spend a little time at the end of the show talking about that. It's going to be great, though. I am very much looking forward to it. Alan, great job as usual. Thank you.
All right, Joe. We'll talk to you again soon. Travel safe. I'll see you in Charlotte.
Thank you very much, Alan. The voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhart, joins us each week right here on WFO Radio. And now it's on to the drivers. We have got Larry Dixon after his just horrific, nightmarish crash. But we're going to speak with Larry about the safety features of the car, what worked, what can be done in the future. Will he race? We got a great interview with Larry Dixon. All you fans of Bob Vandegrift Racing, fans of Larry Dixon, you're really going to love it because Larry is just absolutely incredible. Also on the show, Bob Tasca, BT3. Bob going to be on track for the first time in 2015. We're going to speak with Bob about his program, his new sponsor, his new crew chief, which is him, all on this show. If you love Bob Tasca, stick around. Also on the show, Mark Rabilis, one of the great A++ photographers out there in the world, on Earth, in the galaxy, who happens to also be at the NHRA virtually every weekend if he's not shooting the Super Bowl or front page stuff for USA Today. Mark Rabilis is going to talk about capturing the Larry Dixon crash. So all you amateur photogs out there, definitely tune in for that one. And Marla O'Gwynn, first-time winner in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. We'll have Marla on the show as well. Now, if you're new to the show or if you're a longtime listener, you know that WFO Radio gets by because we have got some core sponsors behind us. And recently we brought a new one on, and they are Spiegel & Utrera PA. They are a law office, and they have a service that you might want to partake in. And actually trying to reach the WFO Radio entrepreneurs out there. If you're a business owner, if you are someone that deals in legal agreements or looking for strategic business and legal advice, they are very reliable, good people to go to. But the first and most important thing is that you need to know I'm not an attorney there. I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA. But you do know a lot goes into every successful racing-related business. Let's face it, every racing operation can be and should be a business, whether you're designing your gear, you're selling your gear, whether it be trademarks or copyrights or contractor agreements or sponsorship agreements. It's all wrapped into the business and legal world. Well, when it comes to building these relationships, sound legal advice may help you avoid costly mistakes. And Spiegel & Utrera PA has something called the General Counsel Club that can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. They may help you avoid those mistakes. Right now, from New York to L.A. to Chicago to Miami, points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. So you get 30-day membership to basically call and ask free legal advice. Go to WFOradio.com. That's the way to get through it. WFOradio.com. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad and enter your information. No credit card required, no obligation, nothing like that. WFO Radio listeners will get a free 30-day membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. What can they assist with? Well, the creation of business entities, the drafting of contracts and legal documents, leasing versus buying options for real estate, vehicles, and equipment, tips on leasing a business location, whether for retail, office, warehouse, or industrial, like, say, your race shop, converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, and how to buy or sell a business are just a couple. Go to WFOradio.com, click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad, it's on the right, and enter your information. You'll receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. It is a great deal. Get good information. There is a newsletter that you will receive to keep you up to speed on everything with your business. Knowledge is power, and knowing that Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club is just one phone call away may give you the confidence to succeed during the day and rest well at night. We'll be back with Larry Dixon right after this on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio. Q. Get ready, race fans. March 27th through the 29th, the NHRA Speed Demons are back at C-Max Dragway. It's four wide and double the power. The four wide nationals are going to rock your world. See John Force, Antron Brown, Ron Capps, and Courtney Force blister the C-Max Dragway at 330 miles per hour. Get your tickets today to the most powerful drag race on the planet. Kids 13 and under are free, and every ticket's a pit pass. Don't wait. Call 1-800-455-FANS.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey, WFO Radio listeners, if you're in the northern part of the country, I know you're freezing right now. You know what would be great? A hot cup of Rodax coffee. Maybe a little hot sauce, a little spice rub for that food you're cooking in the oven. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. They've got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom blends like Bang the Blower and WFO Radio. Their coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown throughout the world, and it's all roasted fresh per order. They've got limited edition, seasonal, and rare micro lots. They've got exotics. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or just pick up the phone. 817-924-6821. Keep your ear out for those WFO holiday packs. Depends on the holiday what the deal is, but Marvin is wheeling and he is dealing. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. Welcome back, NHRA fans. We are getting ready for the Four Wide Nationals at D-Max Dragway. I will be there. Hopefully you will, too. Click the banner ad on the front page at WFORadio.com. But we're still basking in the glow of the Gator Nationals, the East Coast opener. What a great race it was, with exception of one moment that everybody is talking about. And if you somehow didn't see or hear about it, I'm not even going to say that, because everybody saw it and heard about it. Larry Dixon and the C&J Energy Services Top Fuel Dragster snaps in half, goes for a wild ride, and what more can we say other than here's Larry Dixon on WFO Radio to talk about it. Larry, welcome back.
Thank you. This isn't exactly the way I wanted to get on your show, but I appreciate the invite.
You know, I was just thinking about that. I really was hoping, you know, to win. You're going to win your way on. Back in the day,
yeah.
Larry, when we were on satellite, you were winning your way on the show every week, like all the time. You were winning your way on. People were angry at you. You were hogging up the interview slots. And here you are again.
I know, so if I can't get on from the winner's circle, I'm going to be spectacular.
How many different jokes have you heard about the real motivation for why Dixon did this? I heard Connolly saying you want a new car. There's a whole myriad of them. Everyone is creating humor out of this situation.
You know what? That's like the best possible thing that could come out of it is humor, because it's like if you're not going to laugh, you're going to cry about it. So, can't cry. I cried for a few minutes. That was a really great race car we lost, and now we're moving on and getting ready for Charlotte.
Okay, will you be racing at Charlotte?
Absolutely. Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we things aren't exactly according to plan. You know, we were going to have Morgan Lucas guys build us a car similar to what Dave Conley did, but we went to plan B. Got a car from Alan Johnson. He's got a bunch of them over there, and he's not using all of them. So
I hear they're pretty good, too.
Pretty good is right. Yeah, every car that's ever come out of his stable has been pretty good. So, great place to start, and we're getting ready to go. Making a few improvements, I think, to the front end of the car, probably insurance, I guess. So we don't take flight once again. So, that's it. Yeah. You know, like out of every incident, there's always something to be learned. And this one is going to be no different than the rest, from that standpoint. The other day we had, you know, everybody that builds chassis in, Indianapolis, which, you know, covers Morgan Lucas team, John Force team, the Schumacher team, the Alan Johnson team, all at our shop, along with NHRA, and, you know, had all the car laid out, and, you know, just being able to put all those minds together to, build a better mousetrap. Isn't something that happens every day, but we don't want it to happen on any day, you know. Especially if I'm driving it, I don't want it to happen. So,
yeah.
We'll work on the, try to improve it, and you'll probably see rule changes in the future at some point, and we'll have a safer race cars out of that.
Is there, first of all, the idea of like this meeting of the five families of chassis builders around this sounds very intriguing. Was everyone there at the same time, or were they kind of coming in?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think when you talk about something like this, everybody is wide open on helping, you know, and making sure that the improvements that are made. I mean, gosh, the engineering degrees and such that we're in the room at the same time, and it's I love that about our sport. You know, when you want to talk tune-ups and all that, everybody kind of like keeps those close to the vest, but when you start talking about safety, everybody's, you know, puts all their cards on the table. How can we help? What can we do? You know, this is my idea. That's their idea. Just put it all out there, and you know what sounds the best is best. And it's great. Everybody works together, and we'll have a better race car out of it.
Wow, that is. It sounds so interesting to have been able to be there and hear that back and forth dialogue. Would have been incredible. Just the ideas, and as you know, you mentioned the engineering minds that are involved in the sport. Once you get them cranking, they really come up with some interesting things. Without foreshadowing, I don't know what you can say. Of course, rules, if you said, you already said there might be some rules changes. Was there anything that was obvious that you could share that either failed or something ahead of time? Or is there anything you can tell us about the incident without going too far and doing something you're not supposed to do?
Yeah, no. I mean, I'll be totally candid. It's really too early. There's a failure in the front, you know, and, you know, whether it's the tubing itself or the welds and all that, it's still to be determined. You know, that part of the chassis gets shipped off to a metallurgist, and they do an analysis on it, and really come up. I mean, no different than an autopsy. I mean, you know, to try to make some type of comparison. You wait for the results back and to find out what really happened on that side, you know. So that's kind of where it's at. It's still, gosh, you know, we're only days out from the accident. So still early. And we'll see what they come up with.
How are you feeling in terms of soreness? They always say that the day after, like 2 days later, just like when you work out, 2 days later is when the real soreness is happening. How were you a couple of days after the incident?
I'm all right. I think my trainers beat me up worse than that race car did. You know, and I think a lot of the credit goes to everything that we've done you know, as a team, you know, Bob Vandergriff and the sponsors, C&J Energy, stuff that I've learned through the years, you know, some of the things that are mandated by NHRA, you know, and other things that aren't mandated. We're just, you know, I'm very safety conscious on that side, because it seems like I've gone through a few of these things. And so I want to, you know, I want to walk away when those kind of things happen. And I love it. I sent an email off to General Motors the other day, you know, because some of the things that happened to me, you know, the injuries that I suffered in the accident in Memphis in 2000, I go through a similar type wreck and didn't go, you know, didn't have any of those injuries, you know, didn't get knocked out, didn't break no legs. I mean, just things like that. And so, sent off an email just thanking their team for doing that for me, because it made a difference. I mean, you know, harnesses and just everything. So it's just, it was a comforting feeling that all the work that went in place, you know, through the years, it's not all for naught. I mean, it really makes a difference.
What specifically did General Motors do that you were thanking them for?
Oh, gosh. For starters, you know, our cars used to have 5-point harnesses, and they flew to the very next race on our tour after that one, which was, I believe it was either Houston or Dallas, and they look in there and it's like, why don't you have a 7-point harness? I'm like, I don't know. I've never even heard of one. And then all of a sudden we get into it. And then there's a rule in place that you can't have anything but 5-point harness. So like I get the rule changed that so we can have a 7-point harness. I mean, this is going back 2000, you know, 15 years ago. And so just that, I mean, that one thing, I mean, we didn't have carbon Kevlar panels inside the engine, the driver compartment. And my leg hit the tubing back then, and it broke my leg. And Tony's Schumacher crashed in the same weekend and had the same break in the same place from hitting the tubing. So it's, you know, the car's got carbon panels in them now, and you know, the head padding, and you know, from that race, literally ordered a Hans device. You know, and nobody had heard of Hans by it. The only reason I had even heard of it is Gary Selzy was trying one for that weekend. So I order a Hans device and get, you know, end up getting one. And it's just, so there's, and I go through the same accident. I don't have any, you know, I mean, there isn't even a hint of pain in my neck at all. And it's like that Hans device, it works. And so just, and the helmets that we have now, you know, the FIA specs, I mean, gosh, they'll take, you know, yeah, I don't know if they'll take a bullet, but I mean, they'll take gears. And I mean, things like Felipe Massa, you know, like, I mean, his sure. life was saved from those style of helmets. And so, there's just a head padding, you know, last time, at Memphis, you know, my helmet hit the roll cage and it split the helmet, cracked it. So, you know, none of those things took place this time. And that's a, you know, it makes you smile. I mean, not to go through the accident, but that all these things that we've done over the, you know, from one accident has really made a big difference.
Absolutely. And how about that, folks? Just a litany of things coming. Sorry that you have to be the guy to go through it, though, Larry. My goodness, it's you already paid your dues back in Memphis. Here you go again. But virtually, I mean, you tell me, but they look virtually identical when you put them side by side.
Yeah, I mean, from a chassis fail, you know, the chassis failed in Memphis right at the cockpit, and the one in Gainesville, it actually did it a bay forward of that, you know, maybe 2.5 feet forward of that one. But, you know, the end result, you watch them both on tape, I mean, they look very similar and kind of the same results. It's like you lose that front end, you lose that front wing of downforce, man. That back of that car, it's like pulling a stick back on an F-18. You just fly, and so, you know, to a point, and then you got to come back down to earth. But it's what a difference, though, you know, from that standpoint, to be awake for all of it and then be able to get out of the car and walk away from it. It's, that's why I'm okay getting back in the car again, because I can go through something like that and my car and my equipment's going to take care of me.
absolutely tremendous. Now, you did mention airborne. I got a couple of questions regarding safety, but I heard you say something in the media center, and it was very well thought out, considering you had just gone through this, but you compared the incident. Look, when someone goes through something like this, it's horrible, but we all want to know what it was like. And you were awake for the whole thing, and you flew in the air. It had to be almost an eighth mile. You were up there a long time, and you compared it to being on a roller coaster, which we all have been on, and when you're going down or you're going around a corner, just going off the tracks. We've all had that thought. Yeah. I've had the thought a million times, but I haven't gone off the tracks, thank goodness. You have felt it. What was it like going through this, being awake, flying through the air, thinking what's going to happen? Was it in slow motion like you've said in the past? Give me the experience as best as you can.
It's, as soon as the front end went hard right, and I went up in the air, and I knew I went up, and I went up, a decent amount of height, and I was just, I was really worried about going off of the track, going into the dirt, the grass, that kind of stuff, and then getting, tumbling. Tumbling's not good. So, and you're going 300 miles an hour on top of it. It's like, you see a NASCAR, you see a pro stock car that goes, 200 miles an hour, and those things, they get caught in the grass or something, and they tumble, and they whip, and that's, having the inside of your body whip around at 200, let alone 300 miles an hour, is not good. So that's the only thing I was worried about, and then I hit the ground, and it hit hard, but that's the best place I could go is to stay on the racetrack and use that asphalt and that wall to scrub that speed down, and it, finally got to a stop. So it was, you don't have a lot of time to think, but, the thoughts that I had were just pretty much, please stay on the track.
Now, we're going to have Mark Rabilis on in a few minutes to talk about his capturing an incredible sequence of the crash. Have you studied the photos and seen the frame-by-frame shots that he took of the entire incident? And is it difficult to do, or is it more of a research and informative thing for you to go back and look at something like that, if you have?
Yeah, he's Mark Rabilis is... he's like the new Uber photographer. I mean, he's just always at the right place at the right time. Just a little background for the rest of your listeners. At the Super Bowl, the interception that caused the Seahawks to lose the game. He, not only did he get it, USA Today used it, and it was on the front page of the USA Today. Out of everybody that's there, he's the guy. Well, here he is. He gets this shot as well, too. He's just, he's always at the right place, right time, and he's got quite a talent. So, as far as looking at the, I've looked at it on my phone. I haven't looked at it on any, computer, bigger screen or anything like that. There, to be honest, there really hasn't been time to just, sit back and reminisce about it. It's, we're all, gung-ho working, on our race car and our team to try and get ready for the, the Charlotte race. So there ain't a whole lot of time to just sit back. I let the important people that need to look at it, the engineers, the chassis builders and such, need to take a look at it. If there's things they can learn from it, fire away. But from my standpoint, it's, I flew, I landed, and I walked. So that's, we're on to the, I'm on to the next race.
The safety improvements that came out of your Memphis crash, that the evolution that enabled you to walk away from this one and be ready to race at the next event, do you feel that there are things that can be learned from this crash? You already alluded to some things in terms of the chassis and future generations, maybe rules changes, but maybe in the cockpit area, has anyone discussed how a canopy would have reacted in this situation? I'm looking at the car and I see you out there, and my immediate thought is, would a canopy have stayed on that thing, given that every other body panel pretty much ripped off? Was that something that you thought of? Would it have been better? Would it have been worse? I don't know. Has that been discussed? Have you discussed that at all?
I haven't thought about it. I hope we don't have to test the canopy to find out, to be perfectly frank with you. It's I don't know how a canopy would have helped me any more in that situation than what I was in, you know, there. I'm still gonna fly, I'm still gonna hit, and, you know, still gonna walk. Yeah, so, you know, would it have helped me? I don't know. It wouldn't have made me any better than I was, because I'm in pretty good shape that as it was. I really credit to the construction of the car and all the safety equipment that we got in place. That's for them to decide, and hopefully we never test a can. I hope nobody ever crashes ever again. That ain't going to be the case, but I don't wish that on anybody.
Now, and I agree. Looking at the photos, just trying to think about it, I don't know what would have happened simply because of the mounting of something like that, and just very interesting. And, you know, seeing Doug coming through that, thinking of what might have been, it was great to see him able to navigate through the incident and the debris out there. Now, what about the media coverage, Larry? You're out here working hard, winning races, winning championships, and getting some notoriety. You go through an incident like this, you get notoriety the likes of which we couldn't possibly create. You could go out there and run a 2.3-second time in the 1,000-foot, and you're not going to go as far as you did over the past couple of days. I saw Good Morning America. I thought you did an excellent job on that, just laying it out there, talking about how you feel invincible in the car. It made drag racing look very cool. You've done a lot of media, and even the media that you haven't done follow-up interviews on, like WFO Radio, they showed the video. What do you think about that? Gaining attention for the sport, at the same time doing it in a way that we would rather it not be the way we get the attention.
I know. Going back to what you talk about with the media attention, I think over this last week I've done more media. I've had, you know, like you said, Good Morning America, Today Show, Fox and Friends, CNN. I mean, it just on and on. World News Tonight. I mean, it was just there was a ton of it. So at one point, Forrest told me he was mad I was stealing all his TV time, and my comeback for that was, step up, son.
Yeah.
You want that kind of coverage? Go, there's the track. Go get it. But seriously, I probably did more media this week than I have in my whole career, and credit the social media for that, because you know the NHRA has the crash video on their Facebook page and stuff, and it got over 1 million hits in less than 24 hours. So it's rampant, and then everybody wants to know about it, and everybody gets to see it. I mean, I've had calls from Good Morning Britain and, you know, in Germany, and it's viral from that standpoint. I'm fine with it. You know, I can, people will think I'm nuts, and my job as a driver in the NHRA is to let them know, it's like, well, you might think I'm nuts, but I'm not. You know, like, our cars are very safe. I can go through that and walk away from it. And I'm confident in my equipment. It's going to take care of me. Proof Saturday. You know, I went through that and I walked away from it. My car's safe. The safety equipment works. You know, the construction of the cars are done like that for a reason. So I think that's pretty much what I can, you know, bring to the table to try and, you know, so they don't think I'm just some, you know, crazy guy, you know, looking for a thrill, because I'm definitely not a thrill seeker. I'm a racer, and I'm a competitor, and you know whatever rule package and whatever length of track that we're on, I want to be the guy. I want to be the quickest and fastest. So that's it. It's not about being a thrill seeker. It's about winning.
You introduced me to your little people, your family, a couple of years ago. Do you have to talk to them about, like, what Dad just went through, or do they understand at this point?
Oh, they have a clear picture of it. It's, I think they think Dad's like a superhero, some type of Superman or something.
Because he flies.
It's like I go through all these things and I'm still all right, you know, and it's like you explain to them, you know, why you wear your helmets and why the cars are built that way, why you have so many seat belts, you know, the normal car's got two, you know, and I got seven, and it's like, well, 'cause we go 330 miles an hour, and you know, you can, you need more belts to hold you in place. And so, you know, just those kind of things. And they're really, they've grown up around it. I mean, that when you talk about that Memphis crash, you know, my bride, Allie, she was 9 months pregnant at that time. So with our first one. So it's kind of gone through our whole lives that we've had things like that happen. And it's like, you just keep walking away from them. So it's all right. We're in a safe sport. Sometimes it may not seem that way, but it really, really is in comparison to other motorsports. And, you know, NHRA, I mean, it's their tagline forever. I mean, it used to say it on the sticker, dedicated to safety. So that's why we're here, and that's why I'm still talking to you.
Let's explore the best way, and I want you to get creative here. Let's dig down. I know you're also a creative guy, and you're a historian of the sport. What do you think, in your opinion, is the best way for us to, like, tie this whole storyline together? You know, like, this guy, he comes out, he's been out of the cockpit for a while, goes out, has a crash, shows up at the next race. Larry, you got any thoughts on, like, what would be the best way to really put a period exclamation point on this story that happened here at Gainesville?
Oh, gosh, you know, spin and then win, right?
That's right, baby. I'm glad you picked it up. I was hoping Larry's getting what I'm saying.
Yeah. Go Danny Sullivan on him for the younger listeners. That was a IndyCar driver spun in the middle of the race at the Indy 500 and went on to win. So hopefully we can do that at Charlotte here coming up shortly.
Four wide, though, are you preparing? Is it different for you to get ready? You've got all this else going on, and then you're going to show up at the track, and it is something different. Thinking back to your four wide experience, how deep is it?
Oh, I mean, I've competed in, you know, two or three of them. So it's went to the finals or got a runner up with the Alan Johnson group. So it's the more you think about it, the worse you do. So I don't think about it too much. Just go up there, wait for the ambers, and, you know, look for them. Look for a first or second place in the first couple rounds, and then look for the win right in the final.
Yeah, it's a different aspect, more forgiving perhaps, that you can actually, against the drag racer code, you can lose and still advance, except for that final round, which I think is cool. It is definitely a lot of horsepower out on the track, and our listeners hopefully will show up in droves to cheer on Larry Dixon in Bob Vandegrift's CNJ Energy Services machine, a brand new car. Larry, thank you for coming on the show and submitting to all of these questions. I know you've been just going crazy 110% ever since, immediately at the track. And, you know, I told you at the track, I'll tell you again, and I know I can speak for the audience. Like, we are so happy that you were able to come through this and then come on the show and share it with us. It's just unbelievable. We greatly appreciate it.
No, I appreciate it, Joe, and I appreciate all the comments, you know, on Facebook and Twitter from all the fans and stuff, too. It means a lot, and really excited to get back out on the racetrack, but thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, next time you are a beloved personality. You don't have to go all through this. Just ask. We'll tell you we love you.
I'm gonna write that down so I don't forget it. I'm on the show next time for a win, not a spin.
How about that? I like it. Let's make
it.
You are in control. You control your own destiny on this one.
Yeah, sometimes I'm in control.
Yeah, that's true. Larry, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. Take care of yourself.
Larry Dixon with us here on WFO Radio. What a spectacular crash, but most importantly, he walked away and will be racing this weekend in Charlotte. Hopefully you're on your way to Charlotte. You're going to come out and hang with us at the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. WFO will be in the house, or at least I will be in the house, and having a good time. So be sure to say hi, shout out, say what's up, and we are going to have a great time. And if you haven't got your tickets, click the banner ad on the front page of WFO Radio. Do it now and get your tickets and come on out. So happy that Larry is in such good spirits and will be racing this weekend. Now, we got more to come. In fact, Mark Rabilis took the ultimate sequence. It was incredible. It was everywhere of this crash. We're going to speak with Mark as a photographer from his perspective. As much as Larry is in the middle of it, it needs to be captured, and there are other professionals who are doing just that. Mark was on the other side of the lens. He was on the top end. What did he think? What did he see? What did he do? What happened? Why? We're going to ask him when we come back. And, oh, by the way, you can buy the photos. So if you want some amazing shots and you've been thinking you see them on the net, well, you'll be able to get them just like that. And then at the tail end of the show, kind of buried in all the other hoopla, a friend of WFO and a great racing crew member for Spencer Massey got her first victory at the Gator Nationals, Marla O'Gwin. Husband Mike, big WFO listener on Antron's team, great guy, has been on the show. Marla, you've seen her out there for many years. She's they've done highlights on them on the broadcast and whatnot. Well, when Spencer Massey got his win, that was her first win in the Mellow Yellow Series. Imagine, all this time, how long has it been? Well, we'll ask her. Not getting a win with one of the drivers she's crewed on, now she has. She's broken through. And we're going to speak with Marla on this show. So stick around. We're going to get into it. But first, I want to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. We were just down there in Gainesville, and I saw, you know, you look at the track and you think, man, this is not only a legendary track, but this is an educational setting. This is like a classroom for the Frank Hawley Drag Racing School. And they have courses. You can take your Super Comp or Super Gas or Top Alcohol Funny Car license and go through that whole process. They had some students racing in the Gator Nationals. Or maybe you just want to go down the racetrack. Maybe you just want to drive a dragster. I can totally understand that, and it's the very first bit of getting hooked on drag racing. You do a course like this. For just $399, you can do the Dragster Adventure. Accelerate from 0 to 60 miles per hour in less than 3 seconds. You can reach 130 miles per hour in a quarter mile. They even offer side-by-side drag racing. They'll break it up into 4 easy payments. Remember, this is not a ride-along. This is a drive. You're doing it. You're in the car. You're smashing the gas. You're racing down the track. You're hitting the brakes. You're making the turnoff. You're getting the full experience. There's nothing like this in the world. Pick up the phone, 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Be sure to tell them you heard it on WFO. Have you been keeping the envelope? Are you stuffing a little bit of money in the envelope? That's what you got to do. I mean, I laid it out for the WFO Ignition listeners. Get an envelope, you put a $20 bill in it, you write Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School Dragster Adventure on it, and every week you just put whatever you can in the envelope. In the end, you will have an experience that you will remember and you will cherish for a lifetime with the Dragster Adventure. It's the kind of thing I can only try my best to tell you about, though. Only some of you are going to believe me, and the ones that actually go out of their way to do it will be part of a very unique, very special club of people who understand what it's like to accelerate in a dragster. It is so worth it. 866-480-7223. That's Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, and be sure to tell him you heard it on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey race fans, first you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA. Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, how to convert hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad right on the front page of WFO Radio, enter your email address, and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the streets. That's Redline Oil.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO store to order yours today.
Get ready, race fans. March 27th through the 29th, the NHRA Speed Demons are back in C-Max Dragway. It's four wide and double the power. Worldwide Nationals are going to rock your world. See John Force, Antron Brown, Ron Capps, and Courtney Force blister the C-Max Dragway at 330 miles per hour. Get your tickets today to the most powerful drag race on the planet. Kids 13 and under are free, and every ticket's a pit pass. Don't wait. Call 1-800-455-FANS. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. We're getting ready for the four wide nationals at Z-Max Dragway, new track surface, all kinds of great stuff going on. We are going to be there. Hopefully, you will be too, and you can still get your tickets. Click that banner ad on the front page of WFOradio.com, and we will see you out there. We certainly have a big crowd of WFOers that get out to the Bellagio of drag strips. Something cool going on this weekend, of course, four-wide drag racing, but the first appearance of a very well-known and friend of WFO Radio, Bob Tasca III, going to be there. Bob, welcome back to WFO. Congratulations.
Hey, it's great to be on. Great to be back on the show, Joe. We're looking forward to getting back out on the track. It's been too long of an off season, but got so many comments from fans and so much support that we're just thrilled to be back out for a couple races anyways, and we're working on something even bigger for next year.
That is awesome. Yeah, let's start out there, because I have had many people ask me, hey, what's up with Bob? What's the story with Bob? Is it because a Ford pulled out? Is it because of, you know, lots of just guessing? Can you give us an indication of what is the reason you're running a limited schedule and what you're going for next year?
Yeah, well, clearly it's because of Ford pulling out. I mean, I've been very vocal, very disappointed with Ford's decision, respect their decision, love Ford, but clearly, you know, their decision to pull out of drag racing, I think, was a very bad one. But at the end of the day, Tasca Ford is still in drag racing. You know, my family's been in racing long before Ford got involved, and we're going to be in it, long after they've pulled out. So for all the Ford fans out there, we wanted to give them someone to cheer for. You know, I know Timmy's out there still with the Ford. We're going to come out for a selected number of races this year, and we're working on bigger things for next year. But, you know, these things take a lot of money to run on. We announced just now, literally just sent the press release out, that we announced Fire Aid and Nitro Fish coming on board for this race in Charlotte to help out. And, you know, we got plenty of funding to go out and win Charlotte. We're working on some more funding to win a few more.
That is very exciting. I know you got a lot of fans out there. It is a tough spot. If you've been a fan Bob, you know the your family is directly connected to the whole win on Sunday, sell on Monday adage. That was your grandfather. So the idea of being so passionate and connected to a car manufacturer and a make that you root for them on Sunday, and then all of a sudden they're gone. It's not there anymore. It is kind of gut-wrenching for those fans out there, and it has to be very tough.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, it was really a surprise to see Ford make the decision they made. But, hey, at the end of the day, that's business, but we're excited to be back out. You know, I said in my press release, you know, what I miss the most is the fans and the racers. You know, that becomes our family out there and a community that, you know, we're just very comfortable in. So it's going to be a fun weekend, and I'm also doing something this weekend, Joe, I've always wanted to do, and that's tune the car. You know, my car chief, Tom Leskovin, is going to be assisting with me on the car, but we've spent a lot of time pouring through data and different setups we've had over the years, and we've gone back to a setup that I was the most comfortable with, and I'm pretty excited about it. I'm looking forward to seeing what this newautoparts.com Mustang can do.
Who are these guys that are stepping up and sponsoring you for this race? NewAutoParts.com seems like an interesting business model, perhaps disruptive to the infrastructure that is already in place. The idea that if I'm a guy and I want to replace something on my car, I can just order it. How does it work?
Well, hey, listen, my grandfather coined the phrase, win on Sunday, sell on Monday, and we're gonna prove that theory right now with this company, NewAutoParts.com. They're factory parts fast, and that's really what they do. It's not a Jags, it's not a Summit, it's factory parts. It's parts that you would go to your dealer to pick up and buy. And, you know, for many dealers around the country and for many customers, that's not a positive experience. The dealer doesn't have it, they got to order it. With this site, you can go right on newautoparts.com. It's all original manufacturing parts. There's no aftermarket, there's no used parts. It's new auto parts. For your factory cars, trucks, SUVs, you name it. And they represent a lot of great brands now, GM line, the Chrysler line, of course the Ford line, Nissan, Mazda, and Volvo, and they're adding more lines. It's almost every month they're adding more manufactured lines to their site. But it's a great site. You got to check it out. And truthfully, Joe, the more success the NHRA community can put towards newautoparts.com, the more races I'm going to run.
Well, there you go. I've just clicked on the website right now, and I'll figure out something that I need very rapidly. But, you know, you mentioned that, Bob. You've been one of the big personalities out there. When you win, really enthusiastic, and when you lose, openly disappointed. And that's something that we talk about. Your past couple of years have not gone the way you wanted. You're going to tune the car. Kind of sounds interesting, kind of like the Cruz Pedregon, Tony Pedregon model. Cruz has definitely had success. Wilkerson, you already mentioned, he has success. But I got to tell you, Bob, watching those guys command their team down there on the top end, it's something to see. Are you ready for all that is associated with it?
Well, hey, listen, I've been around it just about my whole life, so if I'm not ready, I'm in trouble at this point. But definitely I'm ready for it. Well, we got a great group of guys that have worked with me for many years that actually left the race team and came to work for us back at the dealership. So all my key guys stayed with me, you know, obviously not on the race car, back at the store. So they're all jumping on an airplane tomorrow morning, heading down to the track and getting the hot rod ready. I've spent a couple weeks in Charlotte just organizing stuff and working with Tom Leskovin, who's been my car chief since 2008, who stayed with me. And we got the talent. We certainly got the knowledge in our camp. Clearly, you got to make those gut-wrenching calls, you know, whether you put primary on it or put ignition in it. I mean, I don't think the average fan, you know, really appreciates the fine-tuning that goes into these cars and, you know, whether they go down the racetrack or not. So that's what is ultimately going to fall on my shoulders. And, you know, hopefully, Joe, I didn't forget how to drive. You know, it's been a few months. You may have to give me a few pointers based on what you've seen out there.
Nah, I think you're going to be just fine, Bob. That's just my indication. Now, it is interesting to hear you talk about that, the tuning side of it, though. Do you think, and I've heard Tim talk about it, and I've heard Cruz talk about it. Cruz has got an alter ego for his crew chief. It's like a different guy. Do you think it will give you additional confidence to know that you're the guy who made the decision and you will be able to live with it, deal with it, react with it better because it was you. You made the call, and now you're going out there to battle with it.
Well, I think you're 100% right. I think sitting for the first time in my career driving, it's going to bring me back to my alcohol funny car days. And, you know, we went to like 14 or 15 final rounds when I was tuning my alcohol car. And obviously they're two different animals, but the principles that I use tuning that car, you know, the different data points I look at, I did the same kind of spreadsheet for my fuel car. And it'll be the first time I ever get in a fuel car sitting behind the wheel knowing in my head what the tune-up is exactly and what's going to take place as the car goes down the racetrack. So to some extent, I don't know what I'm looking more forward to, you know, turning the knobs in the box or turning the steering wheel. So we're going to put them both together. And, you know, like you said, I'm going to live with the consequences. If it's good, it's on me. If it's bad, it's on me. And, you know, again, I get a lot of help with Tommy Leskovin, who's been a huge asset, and the guys that are with me at the dealership that are going to come down. So it's going to take a team to win this thing. It's certainly going to take a team to get this thing down the racetrack. But clearly I'm prepared to deal with the consequences.
Why the four wide? Why did you decide that this race would be the first race for you this year? Was it just a scheduling sponsorship thing? Or does it have something to do with the additional hype that this four wide formula generates? Now we're several years in. I think that the tide of the initial some negativity, some positivity, the fact that it's different has receded a little bit. I think people just accept it for what it is, a special race at the beginning of each year where we race four cars side by side by side by side.
Well, I think it's a little bit of all of that. Number one, it is the Bellagio of racetracks anywhere in the world. It's live TV on ESPN2, which is one of the highest-rated TV races of the year. Conditions are going to be phenomenal. My race shop's in Charlotte. I was out at the track last Tuesday, and I was just blown away by the job the ZMAC team has done resurfacing all four lanes. You know, with the conditions, everyone can look at the forecast. Man, we're all kind of, you know, licking our lips a little bit. I mean, this thing could be, you know, the fastest race of all time if the conditions match the track conditions. So a lot of it goes into it. It'll be a huge crowd for the four wide, and it just seemed like the right time to kind of debut. And plus, Joe, I've had enough of snow. We've had so much snow in New England that we still have 2 feet on the ground, and I can't get out of here quick enough, to be honest with you. It's pretty nice weather down there last week when it was 78 degrees.
I can imagine. You know, I was thinking exactly that. We were even talking on the microphone in Gainesville about it. You're the perfect person to ask. Bob, during the depths of winter, when it's really terrible and records are being set for snow and sleet and ice, do people come into the dealership, like, ready to buy, you know, a Mustang? Are transactions happening during that inclement weather?
Unfortunately, Joe, in 65 years of my family's business, we've never had a more challenging start to a year than this year. It's been really devastating to not just my business, but restaurants and, you know, furniture companies. I mean, you name it. I think other than snowplowers, it's been a really devastating winter financially for many businesses in New England. You know, we're all hopeful that there's some pent-up demand. But man, it's March 24th, and it was 17 degrees yesterday morning, and I still got 2 feet of snow in my backyard. So much for the first week of spring in New England. But the sun will come, and the snow will melt, and New England Dragway will reopen at some point, and we'll be racing in New England. But it's been a tough winter, Joe.
Yeah, it seems like it. And of course, being here in southeastern Florida, I don't want to, you know, get too deeply into it. I wouldn't want to get you angry at me. I'm just kidding. Bob, you're the perfect person to ask. How's the new Mustang being received?
Oh, it's red hot. It's absolutely a home run. It's a great car, great design. There's a lot of exciting, you know, sub-models coming out, different packages that Ford will be announcing. So it's much needed. You know, the old Mustang needed to be updated, and no time like the present. But you got to get out and drive it. Even that V6 EcoBoost car is unbelievable. I mean, it's got more horsepower, over 300 horsepower, more than my 1992 Mustang had, when it only had 225 horsepower. So really incredible technology, great design, and customers love it.
Very exciting, and we are looking forward to seeing you back at the track for the four wide, tuning your own car. And we have a listener base that is online, so let's tell them to go to newautoparts.com. Check it out. I see right up here they've got Ford, Dodge, Chrysler, GM, Nissan, Mazda, Volvo. Oh, look at that. Wait, where did that come from? I just saw your car up there for a second, and I can't get it back. Where is it?
It's a scrolling picture. Yeah, they're going to do more and more with the car, but it's a great company out of Massachusetts, and you know, they really supported our team and the whole concept of going drag racing. So win on Sunday, sell on Monday. I got faith in the NHRA fans. It's an awesome site, and it's factory parts fast at really good pricing.
Bob, that is great. Congratulations on putting this together. Certainly hope it it continues to grow and it works out, and all that snow melts, and you get the pent-up demand, and we see you back up the racetrack ASAP, full-time, as quickly as possible. But in the meantime, I will see you this weekend. Thanks for coming on WFO Radio. Congratulations on this deal, and I look forward to talking to the crew chief and the driver after a couple round victories.
Sounds good. Thanks, Joe.
Bob Tasca with us here on WFO Radio, newautoparts.com. New sponsor jumping on board. I think it's great. You know, I believe in the whole .com thing. This online thing, it's not a fad. It's the real deal. The idea that you can go to a website, I need this, and order it, and it shows up at your house or your shop. Pretty cool. Thanks to Bob for coming on WFO Radio. We have got more to come. Coming up next, we have got Mark Rabilis, the photographer who shot the sequence of Larry Dixon's crash. We heard from Dixon, and we are now going to hear from Mark. What did he see through his camera lens? We're going to talk with Mark Rabilis when we come back. Then later on in the show, Marla O'Gwynn going to join us. Crew member on Nitro teams for the past couple of years. We're going to speak with Marla about her first victory in the Mellow Yellow Series. She was crewing for Spencer Massey and Top Fuel at the Gator Nationals, but this is her first Wally of any kind. Can't wait to talk with Marla O'Gwynn. So stick around right here on WFO Radio. But first, want to remind everybody, this weekend, ZMAX Dragway. Get your tickets, click that banner ad, and the folks at ZMAX, they always come on board with WFO Radio to promote their events. We greatly appreciate it. They know that the WFO audience loves showing up at the events, especially the Bellagio of drag strips. Bob Tasca is going to be there. You should, too. So go to either WFOradio.com and click our banner ads. Of course, you got to click on those banner ads and get your tickets, or you can go to ZMAXDragway.com. Either way, we had Christian on a couple of weeks ago, the general manager, Christian Bird, talking about the Friday packages. If you show up with a Mellow Yellow can, you get a discount. At the end of it all, it is a very affordable day of racing, plus the new surface, the weather. What are we going to see? Are we going to see the quickest ETs of all time? Check it out, ZMAX Dragway. Get your tickets. Click WFOradio.com and get them now. I'll be there. Will you? We'll see you out there at the Bellagio of drag strips.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, WFO Radio listeners, if you're in the northern part of the country, I know you're freezing right now. You know what would be great? A hot cup of Rodax coffee. Maybe a little hot sauce, a little spice rub for that food you're cooking in the oven. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. They've got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom blends like Bang the Blower and WFO Radio. Their coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown throughout the world, and it's all roasted fresh per order. They've got limited edition, seasonal, and rare micro lots. They've got exotics. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or just pick up the phone. 817-924-6821. Keep your ear out for those WFO holiday packs. Depends on the holiday what the deal is, but Marvin is wheeling and he is dealing. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey, race fans. First, you need to know, I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera, PA. Spiegel & Utrera, PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts, legal documents, and more. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad and enter your email address and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Council Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. Larry Dixon involved in that spectacular crash. And I'm sure you've seen it. You've seen it either on ABC World News Tonight or Good Morning America or ESPN SportsCenter or Fox and Friends or one of thousands of other programs and TV shows. But if you've been on the web, there is a very strong chance you have seen the photography of this next gentleman, Mark Rabilis, who is out at the NHRA. More often than not, also shoots the NFL. He has been on our show in the past. Mark, welcome back to WFO Radio. How are you?
I'm awesome. Good to be here, Joe.
The last time we had you on, it was to talk about the general concept of photography and how you are so passionate about shooting drag racing and, of course, other sports. We've seen you shoot the Super Bowl. We've seen your shots on the front page of the USA Today sports page and just incredible stuff. Where does this sequence that you have shot of Larry Dixon's horrific crash in Gainesville fall in terms of your past shooting and things you have captured?
A lot of people may say it'd be my top one, but I'm not too sure. I'd say it's definitely top five and probably top three.
Wow. Unreal. Tell me about where you were positioned, and we have got the link to your blog posted on our Facebook page, so people can actually go sequence by sequence or photo by photo, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Mark, they can actually purchase these shots. Is that true?
Yes, sir. I pay NHRA for the ability to license my images and sell them to the public, so they're available.
Wow. So if you wanted one of these big up for your rec room or sports room or race watching room, man cave, whatever, you could actually do that. And I might end up doing that because these are unreal. Mark, tell us where you were on the track, how you shot it, and as you were preparing for the run, it's Doug Coletta, it's Larry Dixon. Doug is a heavy hitter, could have laid down a big pass. How did you know to stick with Larry? And so many things went in so many different directions, and yet you stayed right on the right thing. It's almost uncanny. How'd it go down?
NHRA has rules for photographers when we're shooting top end. First of all, they don't let that many of us down there simply because it is a much more dangerous area where you have to have some experience and know when to bail. It's 900 feet past the 1320 finish line, so it's basically I'm almost a quarter mile past the finish line. So I'm using a Canon camera with a 600 millimeter lens, which it's a pretty big lens, but still when two cars are a quarter mile away from you, you can fit them both in your frame. But on that shot, I wasn't actually following Larry Dixon. I started following Doug Coletta because he started coming towards the center line and he was about to take out the center line cone. So as he was getting close to the cone, that's when I held down on the shutter button and the camera started taking 14 frames a second. And as I'm shooting him taking out the block, that's when Larry's car folded. And he was up in the air 10 feet before it even registered in my brain that I need to switch cars here. But luckily at that point, they were still far enough away that Larry's car was in my shot, despite the fact that I was shooting Coletta.
Oh, my goodness. And to this moment, the idea that Doug was getting squirrely and crossed the center line, hadn't occurred to me because my eyes have been on Larry the whole time. So it's interesting that you tell me that. And as the I was going through the sequence, I see Doug getting closer and closer to the center line, and I was trying to figure out why he was there. Turns out he was there on his own, much closer to disaster than I even realized.
Yeah, if you look in some of the photos after the front end clears Coletta's car, there's body panels from Dixon's car flapping on his rear wing strut. It was a lot closer to a two-car crash than I think anybody realizes.
Wow. Yeah, I see Doug. He's taking out cones. There's body panels on his rear wing, and now he's starting to try to get back off to the right and steer that car through that. It was spectacular. And then when the car comes down, and I've seen various photos out there, are those your selections? There's pretty much two that have really gone wild mainstream. One where the back of Larry's car with the driver capsule is kind of pointed to the right upwards towards 1 o'clock or towards 2 o'clock, and the front end is pointed towards 11 o'clock, and Doug is right in the middle. Is that one's out there a lot. Is that because you selected that one?
Yeah, that initially was my favorite shot of the whole sequence, simply because it was so ridiculous looking. Like, I could never imagine a scenario where I'm taking a picture of a dragster in pieces that high up in the air. So that photo I thought was a really strong picture, and then the fact that you have Coletta driving between the mayhem was really cool, and to fill out that shot. Then the other shot that everyone seems to really like is the one of the car, the chassis, the close-up, where you can see Larry in the car as it's making contact with the left lane wall, and there's a shower of sparks coming up.
That one was the second one I saw, and it actually became my, and this is a little twisted, that we have favorite photos of a horrific incident, but such is the situation with the safety these days. We can go back now knowing everything is okay. But I like the one of him up against the wall just grinding it out. Car is like 2 feet in the air. Sparks are flying. And most importantly, Larry is still driving this thing. He's got his hand on the brake, and he's trying to do something in there.
Yeah, no, Larry's he's a pro. That guy's a Hall of Fame driver, and it showed. The guys just, they're trained to do what they do, and he stuck with it all the way through. He got very lucky that the car landed on the wheel. That really helped out with the impact. But, yeah, that photo, to me, like, the more I look at it, the more it looks like a fake shot out of, like, the movie Driven, where they have this CGI where they make these ridiculous-looking crashes that are just, like, you look at it, you're like, come on, that can't happen. That's what these pictures look like to me. It's just crazy.
Hollywood could not duplicate this with all their technology and imagination. They simply can't imitate this reality.
Nor should they.
Nor should they. We're speaking with Mark Rabilis. You can check him out at markjrabilis.com. And we've got the links up on our Facebook page. You can find it and do a quick search. The photos are everywhere. You can even purchase them. Let me tell you, Mark, once it all ended, and you stayed on the scene, and we see got some photographs of wreckage out there, and also Larry getting out as the safety safari got on the scene, and an arm on his back. And what's going through your mind? You've seen a lot of wild ones like this, and you're kind of coming down after that moment, thinking, "Wow, I just got it. Larry's okay. He's walking to the ambulance." Just tell me about your mind frame as a veteran photographer who has seen a whole lot of stuff.
Well, let me backtrack a little bit. In the middle of the accident, when the car had come down onto the ground for the first time, a photographer behind me, Bruce Beegler, I heard him yell. I don't remember exactly what he yelled, but it was something like, get out of the way, there's parts coming. So I shot Larry for a split second just to get him on the ground sliding by me, and then if you look in the video on the left side of the screen, you can see me on my ladder. I put my camera down for a second. I look up track looking for any parts that are coming my way, and I actually end up seeing, like, I believe it may have been like a blower pulley, something about that size, and it went whizzing about 10 feet from me. But as soon as I saw that I was safe, then you can see me put the camera back up and continue shooting.
Like, unreal.
I was just focused, trying to get every shot that I could on that. But after it's all done, and the first thing, I'm just completely worried about Larry. I've known him for a while, and that's just scary to see a friend go through something like that. But once I knew he was okay, I was still shaking for about 30 minutes. Like, you can ask anybody that talked to me, my hands were shaking. It's just an experience when you're that close to something like that and you're getting pictures. It's just something indescribable.
Unreal. You know, my perspective on the starting line, honestly, I had no idea what had happened other than there was an incident. I thought maybe an engine had blown, a tire had been taken down. I could not tell that it was body panels and the whole car was in the air until the replays came up, and then it was just total shock that we had witnessed that, and you captured it all for all times. And I know a lot of people, I talked to a lot of people who were there, they got the shot, but I haven't seen any that captures it from start to finish the way this one does. In the photography world, is this a congratulations moment? Is this a, hey man, keep on, what happened? How do you feel about this? I know that you would much rather have not seen this happen, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, you never want to see something like that happen, but I'll tell you what, if it does happen, I want to get pictures of it. It's like, it's one of those rare things. Drag racing, you don't get moments like that very often, so when they happen, I want to capitalize and get that moment. But ever since then, I've been getting a lot of texts and emails and phone calls from people telling me that they really like the pictures and just a lot of compliments and other people calling, asking with questions like camera settings, how did the camera stay focused, what's your focus mode. So you get it from all angles. It's interesting. It's always kind of weird because I'm getting celebrated because of somebody's misfortune. So that's the bad part about it. But thankfully, Larry's okay, and I know they're glad that I have the pictures. That they've been using them to try and determine exactly what happened with the car. So I'm also doing my part to help with the safety, I'd like to think.
That is absolutely great. And looking at your final photo where you posted the big red arrow about the driver compartment staying virtually intact. You can see the pedals and everything very clearly where Larry actually was, and a testimony to the safety of NHRA racing. Now, as far as the settings, is that top secret stuff? Are you sharing that information? I know a lot of our amateur photographers out there, I've seen you do the sports shots lately, a lot of them, and they are just great, but this sport moves so much faster. We're talking, they're coming at you hundreds of miles an hour. I'm almost amazed that the camera is able to keep up the way it did and keep everything, like, everything is perfect.
Yeah, no, it's just a testament to the good quality cameras that Canon puts out, and as far as the settings, I share them with everybody. If you look on the blog beneath each photo, are all the camera settings, so it tells everybody exactly what I used and how I did it, so there's no reason they can't do it.
Wow. Well, yeah, just like Mariano Rivera showed everybody how to throw a cut fastball, and yet only one guy on the planet could do it. Just the same, these photographs are excellent. Mark, thank you very much for coming on WFO Radio and giving us the behind the scenes of your experience for Larry's crash. It's something we would choose to never have it happen again, but if it does happen, to have you there documenting it, as well as many other great photographers in the NHRA, but to have you there documenting it for multiple purposes is a great thing. You've done great work here, and thank you for coming on the show to tell us about it.
Great. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Rabilis with us here on WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, and he's down there shooting Doug Coletta. And next thing you know, that all happens in front of him, and that's just the way it is. I have a ton of respect for the photogs out there because they are right there on the field, but this field is not, you don't have to worry about a linebacker falling on you. You've got some stuff coming by you at 1,500 degrees and 300 miles per hour, and they're staying in it, and stuff and debris is sliding at you, and they're getting some of the most incredible shots on Earth. And as drag racer, I often like to think, well, what other sports, what else out there offers what drag racing offers? Or motorsports in general, what other sports? I love the NFL, I really do. I enjoy it a lot. And it is part of the fabric of the United States of America, like nothing else. It is the national passion, the NFL. They could do anything. They could have NFL stars tiddlywinks in a back alley, and it would get like a 5 share because there are people who just, they have been cultured. The NFL is it. That's it. Whatever it is, you got to watch it, got to know it, got to study it. Well, you know, I think that the Tiddlywinks players coming off the New York Giants are actually better practiced than the Tiddlywinks players of the San Francisco 49ers. And I can come up with a couple of reasons why, dating back to, and that aspect of it I don't really get, but it is what it is. It is what it is. But when you watch that, you got guys running and jumping and throwing and catching and tackling. And the pictures of the guys running and jumping and catching and throwing and tackling, kicking, are not so different than they were, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Meanwhile, you see Larry Dixon. This guy is in the air. The front of the car is to the left. The back of the car is to the right. The thing is grinding and sparking. It's going 200 miles an hour. There's a guy in there. There's fire. There's flames. It's this steaming, wrecking, smoldering hulk of twisted metal that was created by men to keep this man safe. It just seems just so much bigger and more exciting and just giant. Maybe too much for the average citizen to understand. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe the NFL is so popular because it is slightly less extreme. I don't know. But for Mark to hang in there, get those shots, and not just Mark, a lot of other photographers got them. Guys, I know, love, and respect. But Marks are the ones that, however, got out there big. And the guy knows what he's doing, that is for sure. I might have to order one up. You can check it out on his website. All right, moving on. When we come back, Marla O'Gwynn. She was on Alexis DeJoria's funny car. She was on Jack Beckman's funny car this year. Made the switch to Top Fuel with Spencer Massey. What does she do? How does she do it? How did she get started? All of these things we're going to ask her. And most importantly, celebrate her first victory. You think about the drivers. And the drivers are so important in drag racing. But it's a team sport. It is a team sport, and if everything is not absolutely correct, you cannot win, Rock. But they were able to win, and Marla was a big part of it, and she's probably got, like, it's Marla, it's Mike, it's Wally. Maybe that's over the line. But right now, it's time to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom blends, and I was so happy. I came home the other day, folks. And I see this box by my door. What's that box? Did I order something? What did I order? I don't know. I didn't remember. Oh, wait. It's from Rodax. Awesome, because I was running low. It represents the top 5% of coffee grown throughout the world and is roasted fresh per order. They have limited edition seasonal and micro lots, some coming from farms that produce less than 10 sacks a year. Jamaican, Sumatra Kopi Luwak. And I told Marvin, I said, he's like, I want to send you some coffee. What do you want? And I was like, I don't really know. I know that I am more knowledgeable about coffee, at least that there are different varieties, than I have ever been in my entire life. So let's just keep that going. Let's keep the education going. And so it looks like I got something from Nicaragua. I got a new blend called Reaction Time Number 4 that I'm going to be talking about on the show. And that's the fun of it. That's the fun of it. You hang out with Marvin, and I even want to start morphing the spot into the fact that this coffee is a health and wellness item. Have you seen all these stories now that coffee is, we knew it's good for you because of the antioxidants and whatnot, but it's actually good for you. Look it up. Pretty crazy stuff. And Marvin does it in a fun way. He is a drag racer and drag racing fan through and through. This past week, he was showing some photographs on his social media accounts of just grilling up short ribs. He has the barbecue spice rubs. He's got the habanero endorphin booster hot sauce. He's got several other hot sauces and spice rubs. Just great. My home has been taken over by Rodax. Yours should, too. That's RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Give him a call. Here's the number. 817-924-6821. 817-924-6821. That's RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Pick up the phone and have a conversation with someone who really knows about coffee, and have a conversation with them about coffee and racing. That's Marvin Rodak, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. 817-924-6821. Racing and coffee. What more could you want? We'll be back with Marla O'Gwynn right here on WFO Radio.
I'm Leah Pritchett, driver of the Doat Racing Gum Out Top Fuel Dragster, and you're listening to WFO.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get ready, race fans. March 27th through the 29th, the NHRA Speed Demons are back at C-Max Dragway. It's four wide and double the power. Wide Nationals are going to rock your world. See John Force, Antron Brown, Ron Capps, and Courtney Force blister the C-Max Dragway at 330 miles per hour. Get your tickets today to the most powerful drag race on the planet. Kids 13 and under are free, and every ticket's a pit pass. Don't wait. Call 1-800-455-FANS. Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, race fans. First, you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA. Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, how to convert hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad right on the front page of WFO Radio, enter your email address, and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO store to order yours today.
The stars of drag racing. WFO radio, NHRA Nitro.
U.S. Army Top Fuel driver Tony Schumacher. Six races from now, what are your expectations?
To hold the trophy up. Me, the other nine guys going for a championship, nobody would want to race the Army car right now. It's the best car out there. And there are other cars that are extremely good. Our car is just the best at this point, at this time, and it's the perfect time to be getting great. And we are the team that is under pressure, ice cold. So that being said, let's get out there and prove it.
NHRA Nitro is available on demand at WFOradio.com. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. We're still basking in the glory of the Amalie Motor Oil NHRA Gator Nationals. We are also looking forward to the four wide nationals at Z-Max Dragway, and there's so much going on. Of course, you hear from the stars of drag racing here on this show, the drivers and the crew chiefs and the owners and the crew members. Joining us now, she got her first win out in Gainesville after many years out there being one of the only female crew members in all of Nitro Drag Racing. Joining us now, Marla O'Gwynn on the phone line. Marla, welcome to WFO. This is your first time, right?
Yes, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show. And I am thrilled for you. I thought the video of you getting drenched with Mellow Yellow was awesome. This was your first win crewing for Spencer Massey at Don Schumacher Racing. How exciting was it?
Oh, it was the best feeling. It was more than I even anticipated. And I think more than anything, it was just kind of a sigh of relief that I finally won.
And it's something that you're a driven person. Anybody who goes out there and submits themselves to this level of torture, just the hard work, the up early, the staying late, the traveling the country, there's got to be a desire to win out there. And this being your first, you'll remember it forever. So tell me about the afterglow, and then I want to ask you about how you got into this whole deal. But as the win light's coming on and you realize, I've won, I've done it, I saw the video that Mike O'Gwynn, who works on Antron's car, and all the WFO radio listeners should know that Mike and Marla are married and they're friends of the show and we absolutely love them. He was secretly videotaping you. It looked really cool that it just like poured over you that you are now a winner.
Yeah, that video was actually pretty awesome. I had no idea he was that close standing behind me, even videotaping. Phil Schuler, my crew chief, told me that he caught the whole thing on tape, and when the wind light came on, I kind of almost fell on my knees because, like you said, it kind of validates all that hard work and all the late nights, and it kind of just reminds you why you're out there. You know, if you don't have the passion to be out there, it's really not all that glamorous, and it was just, like I said, a sigh of relief, and the excitement came later, I promise, after all the tears, and my mom told me not to cry, but after 6 years, after six seasons, it just kind of happens that way, but yeah, it was such a good day, and I hope there's more to come. I hope it's like Erica Enders, where they just start coming a little bit more easily.
I think they will. I think you've got yourself a great driver, not just a good driver, but a great driver, like a standout, yeah, over-the-top, gifted driver in Spencer Massey. I also think that with Phil and Todd, you have two excellent crew chiefs. It's Don has got one of his companies on the side of the car, so the personal investment from the people there, from the outside appearance, looks to be tremendous. So I'm thinking this could be a very big year for you, not just race wins, but maybe even more. But let's go way, way back, Marla. I'm thinking about it. I'm wondering if you had come on WFO briefly with us either at the track or somewhere. I'm starting to think that you might have been on at one point way back in the day. But let's go back. How did you get involved? How did you get started? There are other female crew members out there, have been, but you are a standout. You've got the blonde hair. Everybody notices you. And when did you get in? When did you get started? But more importantly, what made you decide you wanted to be a crew member on a nitro car?
Well, hopefully I get noticed for my hard work and not just my blonde hair.
I mean, from a distance, but, you know, you see these people, they're all working on the car, and it's like a swarm of people, and one of them happens to be a pretty girl. I think you, whether you want to or not, that stands out.
Well, thank you, Joe, but I originally started out with just going to the University of Northwestern Ohio, where I eventually earned my associate's degree in high-performance technology. And I didn't really know much going into that school. I really didn't even know how to change an oil into, you know, a daily driver, let alone build a top fuel dragster. But as soon as I graduated that, unfortunately it was in recession, so it took a little time. But Terry McMillan actually hired me on to his car, where I was just kind of cleaning the parts and inspecting them and kind of getting to know what even goes into one of these things. And I worked there for about a year and a half, and then I started working over at Kota Motorsports on Alexis DeJoria's car, and I built the round piston assembly over there, and I also bolted on a cylinder head, so that was actually a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. And then just last year, I got hired on the Jack Beckman's car, and over there I was doing clutch assistant, and that is what I'm currently doing right now on Spencer Massey's car.
You are a clutch assistant, and without giving up any proprietary secret data, can you give us an idea what you do between rounds in that position?
My job description between the funny car and the dragster is actually quite different. So on the dragster, when the car comes back, we just take the clutch out entirely, and I take the tires off. I inspect the wing. I put the flywheel back in, the clutch pack back in. I look at the bell housing and I clean the throwout bearing and inspect that, put that back together. Just little kind of piddly stuff. I mean, it's not so piddly, it all counts, but, you know, emptying the fume tank, doing stuff like that, putting the tires back on the car, and then by that time it's ready to warm up again. So in between rounds, I'm pretty focused just on getting the tires back on the car, getting the clutch back in, and helping Sterling. He's the clutch specialist on the car as much as possible.
Very cool. Now, have you had the experience? We've seen you on the ESPN2 broadcast, but I know you've had the experience, but I want you to tell me about it. Young girls coming up saying, hey, how can I do this? Or maybe you're an inspiration to them, or maybe you're even unknowingly paving the way for some young person out there, girl or guy, to follow in your footsteps as a crew member and try to climb the ladder in NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
Yeah, I was that little girl. Maybe not so little. I was, you know, in high school, but I know what it's like to be on the other side of the rope and see somebody in there that you really admire and you really look up to. So it kind of came around full circle. And anytime anybody wants some advice, you know, I'm maybe not the best person to give it, but I'm more than willing to give what I have. And it's really cool because it's not just young girls and boys. You know, I've had grown women and even grown men come up to me and say that what they think is really cool and really respectful. So that goes along with the whole validating my job. You know, I'm there just more for, you know, winning and, you know, hopefully being somebody's role model.
Well, I think it's without a doubt it's happening out there. And the more wind lights that come on, the more it's going to happen. Of course, you are part of a team out there, and the team certainly rose to the occasion on this given weekend. Marla, what are your goals now that you have broken through and you've got a win? And you mentioned it's been 6 years, so you've been out there working a lot of weekends and a lot of oil on you and a lot of dirt, I'm sure, late nights, early mornings, to finally break through and get that win. Now anything is possible, really. What would you like to do? Where do you see yourself in 5-10 years continuing to be a crew member? Do you have crew chief aspirations? Are you out there thinking, I want to go as far as I can go? Maybe I don't know where that is, but I definitely want to keep on ascending in the sport of drag racing.
It's kind of funny because for the longest time, my only goal has been to finally win a race. Now that I've done that, it's like, okay, what next?
What's next? But, exactly. It's been 72 hours. What's next?
Yes, I know. Well, of course I'd like to win more. That felt pretty awesome. But, you know, just as many winner circles as I can get in. I'm so used to being in my husband's winner circle that it's kind of nice to be in my own. But I don't really know. You know, in a couple years I might want to start a family. And, you know, in this whole drag racing thing, I'm willing to learn all that I can learn and take all the knowledge I can. So I don't really have, you know, a goal right now. I'm just pretty content where I'm at.
Listen, let me tell you, that is a great place to be. Most people actually aspire to be exactly where you are, content and happy and doing a good job and winning races and successful, which is exactly what you are. Now, you mentioned Mike. What's that like? You guys got married this past year. How long has it been? It's been a little while. And Mike works on Antron's car. He's been on WFO Radio. He is a listener. And in fact, I believe you have been subject to the torture of listening to WFO Radio mile after mile in the past. What's it like being married to someone who was out there on the scene as well, who you go to work together at the same time, but off to different places? It was one team, a competitor team last year, but now you're under the same roof. How is that?
It's awesome. Everybody always asks what it's like to live and work and travel and room together and constantly be together. And I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way. That is not the whole point of marriage, to want to be with the person you're with. But yeah, it's going to be a year on Sunday. This coming Sunday is our first wedding anniversary.
Happy anniversary. You timed this victory perfectly.
Yeah, it's a good way to start off my whole anniversary week. Unfortunately, maybe not in his favor, but It's really kind of nice being under the same roof, because even today I had a question on something, and the way he explains things I really pick up and I understand. So I walked down to his trailer and he helped me out. And even though we're competitors on the racetrack, you know, we're still a married couple. I still ask him for advice. He's really, really smart. And so It's just kind of nice to have him under the same roof, because even if I feel like I have a dumb question, he's not judging me, because, I mean, he's married to me. I'm his wife, as far as I know. But, I worked in Michigan at Coletta, and we've always had a long-distance relationship up until the point where I moved down here to work at Don Schumacher Racing. So we know what it's like to not be together and to make, work out of seeing each other. So we're just really happy and content being under the same roof. No, we don't get sick of each other, and we need our space. We get it. It works pretty easily for us. We make it work pretty nice.
That is great. Well, you're both in together, of course, but independently of one another. You're both very high-quality individuals, nice people, hard workers, friendly, something that people out there would and should aspire to be in their professional lives from being out there and seeing you. And so it only makes sense that together you guys would be even better. But now here's the question. I'm sure you've gotten this, and you've got it. It's a cliche question. This is a total, this is not original WFO. You guys are going to have to race each other a lot. It's going to happen. Previously, you were on a funny car, and he was on a dragster. This is now new territory. You're under the same roof. How's that going to go? And not just on the track for one round or one wally, but my prediction is for the championship. Antron, as strong as they come. Spencer, as strong as they come. Can you just, let's think about a countdown race where both teams are going right down to the wire. What would that be like for you guys being married and competing against each other and going through that as a married couple?
Yeah, kind of like Bring It On. we had to race each other in the semifinals here in Gainesville, and, I beat him, but he was still there in the finals to support me, so we are both very competitive. We both want to win. I want more wallies. I'm greedy now. And, hopefully we do have to go up against each other for the championship. We would just be lucky enough to have that opportunity. We made a pact that when we get home from the racetrack or back to the hotel room, we leave racing at the track. No matter who wins, who loses, whatever happens, we leave it there. We're just a married couple. But when we're at the track and on the starting line, we're competitors. That's just how it is. We support each other, though. It doesn't sound like it when we're at the track, but we really do.
Well, you have a vested interest in each other's success, ultimately, and so that, I'm sure, is something you both feel mutually. Marla, I want to thank you for coming on WFO Radio. A huge, giant, mega congratulations on your first...
Thank you.
It's very cool. It is a very cool story. And Spencer was just on rails this weekend. He had a 20 in the final round. Great reaction time. Winning on a whole shot. Going in deep, of course. And to see you as a part of the story is great. And I appreciate you coming on the show and taking time out of work to come on and share it with the WFO Radio audience.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
And Z-Max Dragway now four wide. Are you ready for it?
I am. My mom's going to be there. My mother-in-law's going to be there. It's going to be a big family event, and hopefully one of us can bring home the Wally.
There you go. Wouldn't that be crazy? Spencer's
that
pretty good.
That would be cool.
Spencer's, he's pretty good over there at the 4-wide.
He is. He's good at Charlotte. He's good at Vegas. So bring it on.
You got yourself a great driver. Marla, thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Marla O'Gwynn with us here on WFO Radio, getting ready for the 4-wide Nationals. I am packing every cold weather item I've got, and I am going to be ready to go. I'm going to be like Spies Like Us at the end. I'm going to have it all, everything I own, and I'll be ready to go. Hopefully you're headed out. Hopefully you are coming out, and you're going to enjoy it at the 4-wide Nationals. I do have a couple of things I do want to mention, though. I did say earlier how to watch the 4-wide. In my experience, having now been there a couple of times and getting to take it in, it's not something you just know how to do. You've got to learn how to do it. As with everything, right? The first time you watch a drag race or a road course race, you don't know where to look or what to look at. You might think you do, that the first second you got there, you understood that you look at the starting line, and then you look at the Christmas tree, and then you look back at the starting line, and you look where you're looking based on years of experience, oh, there was that time that this happened, then I noticed this. Same with four wide, and I have been figuring it out along the way. Like, what's the best way to do it? Just kind of zone out and watch all four lanes or to pick a car, and I am doing it. Right now, what I've been doing is kind of watching the middle two lanes. Watching the middle two, and as one or more of the cars fall out of the race, then pick up the cars that are still in the race and watch as the race continues. And remember, you don't have to win. You just have to finish first or second in each of the first two quads. And that's interesting because somebody always, some sort of underdog always gets through. I know that there have been a lot of drag racing fans who represent a minority who complain about the four wide. They don't like it. I get it. We get it. It's gotten. But they're going to continue to do the four wide at ZMAX Dragway because it is the only facility that can house it. I have said for years now, 2 years I believe, that it would be even cool to do it for the first race in Vegas to give the West Coasties a opportunity to see four wide drag racing. It's not that different that it totally uproots the sport. It is different enough that a first-time fan or a casual fan may go out to the track more than once to see it and experience it, so I think it is a good idea. And as we gain more and more experience with it, we will learn and unlock more secrets. So I hope to see there at ZMAX Dragway for the Four Wide Nationals. And one more thing. It's always easy to be negative about something, regardless of what it is, what we're talking about, whatever the subject is. It's always just so easy to be just negative. Well, no, I don't like it, and you got it, I hate it. That's the easy way. It's harder to learn and explore and figure out new things. And the four-wide drag racing, I think, is one of those things. And let me tell you, this is the ultimate fact. At the end of the day, Sunday afternoon, whoever he or she is that are holding the wallies up, they like it. They're not going to be unhappy. They're going to be very happy. And so it's just a matter. If you can figure out how to win it and unlock the secrets to victory, oh, you're going to love it. And if that's your driver, you're going to love it. All right, that's part one. Part two, obviously, we've got our WFO gear, seeing lots of people posting pictures of themselves wearing WFO T-shirts. Keep it up. It is great. Of course, we've got limited stock, so if you want one, get one. And that is great stuff. And at the end of every show, we have my time. And now it is time for my time, which I bring up a point or a thought about something that concerns me. And in this particular week's my time, and we'll be talking about this over the next couple weeks as a general theme of the show, Team Jacob. It's a hashtag, Team Jacob. Go to the Twitter machine and check it out, Team Jacob. Tommy Noodles, who is on our Ignition show, who has been doing radio shows with me since the satellite radio days as my sidekick and producer, his son, Jacob, has stage 4 cancer. And so they have been giving updates, and they have been, the boy is 10. He is a tremendous racing fan. He loves all forms of racing. Of course, he loves NASCAR. He likes drag racing. He likes it all. Tommy Noodles is asking that we check out the hashtag Team Jacob. There is a Facebook page, Team Jacob's Race for a Cure. And for all of you out there who have any kind of thought that you might be able to just send a positive message using your brain out to this little boy, young Jacob, I'd ask you to do so. Because at 10 years of age, he is, a bright, young, fresh hope for the world. And to be all of a sudden stricken with this horrific disease at 10, he's got a twin brother, it is something horrific. Now, we'll keep you updated and through our website, but the hashtag Team Jacob is where we're asking everybody to go to just kind of get updates and check it out and maybe post a nice message to the young boy of Tommy Noodles, who is has been and will continue to be a great friend of WFO and myself. Hope the young boy Jacob gets well, Team Jacob, and we can get him out to the racetrack one of these days real soon. Folks, that's going to do it. You might have been able to tell under the weather this week as well, just not able to bring it the way we always do on WFO, but we bring something. Which is the motto of the show. We might not be able to bring it 110, but we bring it, at least. And so you heard Larry Dixon, you heard Bob Tasca, you heard Mark Rabilis, you heard Marla O'Gwynn, you heard Alan Reinhardt, and you heard me just sounding a little more nasally than normal. The Ignition Show will go on as scheduled, as usual, as well. Talk about the big Brad Keselowski victory out there in California, and Kurt Busch, and what was up with that late caution. Kurt Busch, did they really not want him to win? Oh, you think the conspiracy theories are thick in drag racing? Wow, the conspiracy theories are out there. I feel like I saw the debris, but that's just me. Other people say they do not see the debris. To all of our partners and everyone out there, obviously, if you are a great listener of WFO, check out our sponsors, whether it be Rodax for coffee, whether you're stuffing the envelope for Hollies, maybe one of our newer sponsors, that 30 days of the General Counsel Club, folks. They've been around WFO for a long time. If you're actually looking for something interesting and entertaining, you can go right through that link and find an entrepreneurship / business advice podcast series that was produced by me specifically for them. And a lot of interesting information called Start or Expand Your Business Today. Check it out. That is the General Counsel Club by Spiegel and Utrera, PA. Sign up for your free 30 days and get your tickets for ZMAX Dragway. Well, folks, that's going to do it. We'll see you when Ignition starts. Not long from now. In the meantime, you can bounce around the website, check out some of the photographs on our social media, or just sit idle until then, although that sounds kind of boring. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.
That was terrible!
Horrendous!
I'm offended!
I'm appalled!
So what are we going to do?
What else?
Email it to everybody we know! Good idea.